Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to episode 40 of Off the Tape, introducing your greatest hosts, Spencer and Stefan.
That's right. We are back after our trade deadline review last week. We're coming back at you. It may be award season for all you cinephile lovers like myself out there, but it's back to some hockey talk. As we're introduced, Spencer Ash Jones here, Stefan Maximovic as well. Episode 40. Steph, who's your number 40 for us?
Well, my number 40 is Patrick Laliem. Now, Patrick Laliem is it's an enigma in Ottawa. Fans either love him or hate him for one particular reason. We love him because of the fact that he was one of those keepers where when he was on, he was absolutely on. And I'm talking about that 02-03 season where, you know, he had an amazing 11-7 record in the playoffs. His goals against was 1.82. And, you know, we took the eventual champions to game 7 in the conference finals against New Jersey. But then you have that year of 03-04 in Ottawa where...
beach ball season!
Joe Nieuwendyk could have put a beach ball between that man's legs in those playoffs, unfortunately. And yeah, that was kind of the end of his playing time in Ottawa. So I'll give a shout out to an Ottawa Senator this episode and give it to Patrick Laliem. How about you, Spencer?
Well, I'm going to take us across the pond into Sweden, where for this player, he is currently in the final year of his contract. Born in, and again, apologies as always if I mispronounce it, because we don't exactly learn the tongue from out there, but hailing from Njurunda, Sweden, the 40-year-old for episode 40, number 40, playing for the Detroit Red Wings, Henrik Zetterberg. The 210th overall pick of the 1999 NHL draft, 2009 Stanley Cup winning champ, 2008 Stanley Cup winning champion, and Conn Smythe recipients award winner.
Not only that, his kid is named Love, so we're really showing a lot of love for Henrik Zetterberg on this episode, giving him the giving him the honor of being one of our number 40s. Let's be real, it would have been Tibet's number 40, but Tibet didn't show up yet again, so, you know, I don't even know what to say. My man is not able to Google his favorite player. So I think on behalf of Tibet, we'll just say Tuukka Rask. I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, well, I can't go wrong. Like, you know, Tibet would have picked, you know, a Toronto Maple Leaf draft pick and Tuukka Rask, right? So
100%, yeah. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, not much. I mean, not much. Okay, it's not like there isn't much going on in the NHL. It's just, it's kind of a little bit more quiet. And I think that this episode's kind of going to reflect that. But you know, we can't say that we aren't loving all of the drama that's been going on in each division as things begin to tighten up and the playoff picture begins to unfold potentially in some of the divisions.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, like, it's been like that for the past month, if not even 2 months, where every division has seen the top three teams all be fairly locks in their respective divisions. And then it's been a little bit of a fight between like 4th and 5th, maybe even that 6th team in there. You know, an example of that, when you look at the Central, like, you knew Carolina, Florida, Tampa right up there. The trial, the Chicago 7, you know, great movie as it was, but unfortunately the Blackhawks, 7 games remain, or 8 games, damn it, fuck, messed that one up then. Anyways, for their trial of their final 8, they're out of it. They're, like, all their games are playing against Carolina, Florida, Tampa, and Dallas. But certainly, you know, Nashville, Dallas, we see them actually face off each other coming in this Saturday, May 1st. So definitely a great idea to see where they line up come after that game. You know, the game result, what happens there. Yeah. You know, it's definitely, like, it was pretty funny even when you look in the West Division there. And as we said, you know, top three, your Vegas, Avalanche, and your Wild all leading up there. And then I believe I saw a stat actually recently, Steph, that showed that Arizona, St. Louis, and San Jose, those three teams there, have a combined 4 wins in their last, like, 29 games played.
Oh, yeah.
it's either everybody wants a tank and nobody wants to play 4 playoff games as a practice for the Golden Knights or Avalanche.
Hey, I mean, speaking of a team based in Nevada, we got to give a shout-out to Nomadland because that's out in Nevada, so we got to give a little shout-out to a potential Oscar-winning one there. The Las Vegas Knights, I mean, those are your cup champs. I mean, they're kind of, it's not that they're running away with the division. We knew that Colorado was another team. It's so annoying that two favorites are in the same division and that one of them is going to potentially be the one that goes through, you know?
Not only that, but again, playoffs, that they're second rounds, like they're not playing each other in the final 4 or the finals, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of, and we still don't know who's going to kind of come out on top there, but yeah, I mean, Vegas looking good out in Nomad Land, I guess, to kind of put it there, and Colorado's looking out pretty good in Denver. It's going to be a battle between those two teams. And I think, like we were talking about before, Minnesota's just happy to be there. And if they can even skip over Colorado to take home ice somehow, you know, maybe Colorado gets a little cold here going into the playoffs. You don't want to be the one. I know that fans are potentially going to trickle in, maybe not in the NHL. It's unknown, but yeah, it's definitely tightening up. I think that if we're going to really talk about a tight race, it's the East. We don't really have to get into the North. I think it's obvious Toronto's kind of created some separation, and Winnipeg and Edmonton are kind of fighting it out. It's definitely the four spot, and we'll kind of get into that after because of kind of the events that have been going on between some of the Canadian teams. But man, the East. Oh, Boston, two games in hand on everybody, and if they win out, they are smack dab in the middle of Pittsburgh and the Islanders, and everybody's almost within 3 to 4 points of each other right now. It's getting kind of crazy.
Yeah, unfortunately, even like the Rangers, they just played too many games and had a rough start to the end of the season. Very interesting note to make about the Rangers, though, was when they had that first big lopsided victory when they won 9-0 through the first two periods against Philadelphia, the Rangers coaching staff was incapable or due to COVID protocols, they were unable to be at the game there. Yeah. So they brought up their AHL coach as well as their assistant GM, I think his actual position now is a special assistant to the GM, because I guess Drury, you know, he loves his Dwight Schrute title there.
That's funny.
but the funny thing was is how going into that game, the new coach and Chris Drury being a coaching staff for that game that night, kind of sense a different message. It's not exactly known what was said or what was pointed out, but they said something prior to that game that night, and it made a lot of the players kind of turn their heads and think things a little differently. And, you know, we saw the emergence here of, Adam Fox on the back end there, where he's been absolutely stellar. I think it was a 13 or 14 game point streak that saw come to an end recently. Obviously, you know, Shesterkin's doing well in net for them there and will be for years to come. And all their young guys, like, hey, you know, Vitaly Kravtsov as well made his way over. And, you know, he's going to be phenomenal in a couple years. And it's kind of like the Wild, where enjoy, have the fun right now and take on that experience for the upcoming seasons. But as you said, the top four there between your Penguins, your Capitals, your Islanders and Bruins, it's such a big race. You don't know who the father is to finish out on top of that one.
Yeah, but it's a dogfight for sure.
Well, but honestly, for my prediction here, I am calling it. I'm going to say we're going to see Washington Islanders first round and Pittsburgh Boston first round.
So you think that Boston is going to be hot enough to get past the Isles?
Yeah, Isles have been non-existent since they acquired Parise and Zajac. Only one game they scored 2+ goals. Every other game they're either getting shut out or they're scoring maybe one. Like, they're just been absolutely cold. They're not getting the job done offensively. They're shoring up defensively well, but they're just not being able to score or buy any goals whatsoever here.
You meant Palmieri, right? Because you said Parise.
Oh yeah.
I don't think Parise could have helped them either. Let's be absolutely real, based on the last 5 years of that terrible contract or whatever he was given. Jesus Christ. But I actually kind of agree with you. I think Washington's just pushed too far out ahead. Do I secretly want to somehow see Washington and Pittsburgh in the first round? I think we all do, but there's a very
that's the thing, we all do. But again, history has shown when Crosby and Ovechkin go head-to-head, whomever wins or eliminates the other foe, they go on to win the championship. And I just do not see that happening in a first-round series.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that I think what a lot of folks have to remember with these tight races is, you know, the matchups are going to matter a lot in the first round. You don't want to be getting a heavyweight and dropping out of a position. And I think that, yeah, we see that here. We see that in the Central, you know, the fact that Florida and Tampa might line up head-to-head in round one and Carolina maybe avoids those two. That's such a key thing to be avoiding in round one. It's going to be really fun with these tight top two threes that we're seeing. who jumps up and who doesn't to kind of, you know, potentially get a have a heavyweight tilt. It's really weird because it seems like the other divisions, some of those teams are absolute monsters. And then you kind of come to the North Division, and Toronto, I mean, they're always a monster in the regular season and they're always a monster offensively, but it's, I don't know what happens. Well, we all know what happens in the playoffs with Toronto every year. And then, you know, is Winnipeg for real, right? Like, that's the big question, because they've looked amazing in the regular season before. They've come into the playoffs and they fell flat. And then obviously Edmonton, everybody questions the back end, and Montreal seems to be faltering a little bit here. I mean, the Flames have been heating up, pun intended, and they are kind of getting there. And Vancouver has too many games in hand to ignore, with a couple games here against Ottawa left in the regular season. So it's kind of one of those things, like the North, you can't really make out what's going to happen there. It's very open still. We know Toronto's definitely going to be going through there, but that fourth position seems to be open again.
Yeah, no, it's just Montreal's been absolutely shitting the bed. Like, and that's the thing, like, offensively and defensively, they have not been the same since they fired Claude Julien. So, and I still go on saying that the only reason, like, okay, you know, it said that, you know, if you want to make a change, it's either the goalie or the head coach that you have to ship out, you know? Obviously, you can't do that with Price because of his contract there, and difficult to do that mid-season when Bergevin's in a tight hole to, you know, be able to win and go all out there. Yep. But I honestly think that Luke Richardson would have been a far better replacement to Julien. But,
yep,
of course, when you hear the name, well, fans aren't going to appreciate it like that. So you have to go with Dominic Ducharme instead. And you can see the team hasn't changed. You know, nothing is looking better for them by any means whatsoever. Yep. So, you know,
I agree. It's just that Julien, I still didn't like that initially when they did it. I knew, like, it almost felt like it was coming, but I just didn't like it. I don't like the fact that they had acquired, we talked about this, they acquired so many cup winners, and then you get rid of the cup winning coach. It just didn't seem right to me, and you're right, they can't get rid of Price, the contract, nah, it's Carey Price. Yeah, I don't know. You're right, I think they might be shooting themselves in the foot. We'll see, they might eke it out and then turn it on, but I don't know.
Yeah, but, you know, other than that, it's still fairly quiet. There's still, well, a couple of divisions have 2 weeks remaining in their season. The other couple of divisions have 3 weeks remaining. So it's always the best time of year as well when it's trade deadline's over, and now it is the dogfight to get into the playoffs, you know? And sometimes teams play down a tier against some of their opponents seasons have been done for a while, and sometimes that screws up their seeding in their own way and potentially destroys some morale amongst their, you know, inside the dressing room or on the bench there come games. So
yep,
definitely going to be interesting over, obviously, over the next couple weeks. But outside of that, you know, there's some junior news that came out of Canada over the past week where we learned that the OHL will not be having a season this year. Yep. So it's real unfortunate for all those players. Not even gained a chance to play. I'd say probably a good 85% of all players, you know, obviously didn't play at all anywhere this year. A lot of the ones who were drafted were able to go overseas or had gone down they went down to like America and the AHL team, but they were, high draft pick and had the skill and ability to keep up the play. But yeah, and like, it's just so unfortunate just because of COVID and, you know, how much loss there's been these last year to end the season and all this year for the OHL alone. And,
yep,
you know, in addition, the WHL, they announced that they're not even going to have a postseason going on. Memorial Cup's been canceled. So yeah, it's just a lot of loss overall. And it's just real unfortunate. And like, what I find is going to be even crazier is when we're in the future living and when we look back at this, you know, I'm being like, wow, like that's always going to be stunning how it's going to be like on the Stanley Cup when you see there's no 2004-05 winner because of the lockout, right? It's just like, like here we are 16 years later. It's like, yeah, it doesn't, like, it seems, you know, like it was long ago, but it's actually a little closer than when it was. But yeah, when I'm going to, you know, scroll my finger along the Stanley Cup rings there and, oh, wow, yeah, we had to skip 2004-05 because there wasn't even exhibition games going on for the league then.
Yeah, like you said, it sucks for the players. And it's also going to be kind of interesting because, I mean, you would think that these players wouldn't lose much. Like, you don't lose talent and you don't lose the hard work you do. But, you know, it takes time for skills to build, and you always are building your skills over time. And I'm sure they're training away from the ice, but I am fascinated to see if this affects any development of certain players heading into this draft. I know that we haven't been able to really see, like, Shane Wright, for example. You know,
yeah, he didn't play anywhere this year.
But Brad Lambert's been playing, you know? And he's been playing against men in Finland. And we know that, you know, it's going to be a dogfight for that spot next year. Now, look, these guys are all going to be playing again next year, so we're going to definitely see the full talent. But I'm really fascinated. It's funny, again, we're being such losers. We're skipping over talking about the 2021 draft because we know how awesome 2022 is going to be. So it's the story of the year. So if you're interested in 2021, you might as well skip it. Who cares? Sorry, Owen Power. But, you know, it's one of those things where I am just excited to see these players again next year, but I'm interested to see who has been affected, like, development-wise. I know that it won't affect certain as much, but you got to think that's for some of these players, like, that are really wanting to maybe push themselves up from being fourth, fifth round to the second rounder. It might affect them compared to some that have continued playing.
Well, and when you go along talking about that development there and talking about the upcoming draft and, you know, upcoming prospects of tomorrow, it should be noted that starting, you know, upon this episode being released today on April 26th, the U18 World Junior Championships are set to begin. So what makes these always fascinating and enjoying to watch is that, you know, around Christmas time, we have our U20 World Junior Championships. Well, this is the U18. So this is all players that are 17 and younger. So mainly this is the tournament that's going on for all the 2003 born. So there are quite a few players who are set to be drafted into the NHL this upcoming NHL entry draft. Yeah. And again, some of these players, they didn't play a lot of games as much as they normally would. And, well, here they are. It's definitely going to be a great looked upon tournament that's going on, and definitely encourage everyone, if you get a chance, to go watch it, because again, these are stars of tomorrow. There's not as much talk or as hype around the tournament because again, it normally is played around this time of year in April. Well, yeah. NHL playoffs are going on. So of course that just takes over any other coverage, but every other junior league is also running its postseason too, right? It's usually like maybe around the third round right now. So if you're a team that didn't qualify for the postseason, or maybe you got out within the first two rounds, then your players may be available. But I mean, so as an example, for Team Canada here going into it, again, this is a tournament for all 2003 borns. Well, they invited Shane Wright, who's an 04 born. Another 04 is also Denton Matejchuk, another 04 from Winnipeg, Manitoba. In addition to that, they also brought in Connor Bedard, the 2005-born phenom who was nearly averaging 2 points a game in the WHL as a 15-year-old. Like, the first ever player to be granted exemptional status in the WHL. And here he is playing a tournament they're still going to be eligible for two more years, or the next two tournaments still. And even to go along with that, Shane Wright was also named captain of Team Canada. So for someone who's an 04 born to be named captain with a team that's everyone's older than him by a year, at least birth year, that's also kind of significant. It says a lot about his leadership there, you know? He did receive the A when he was with Kingston in his rookie season last year as well. So that's something always takes a little peek or a little double take by maybe GMs out there when it comes to their draft, being like, wow, yeah, you know, it's almost like Anton Lundell, where he got to be named captain for a couple games over in Finland there as an 18-year-old.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's definitely going to be interesting. I mean, I think it's one guy that I'm going to be looking out for in this tournament, and he's a non-Canada guy, is Simon Edvinson is in it as well, and he's a 6'4", 205-pound, he's a giant left-handed Swedish defenseman. And
projected to go top five in this upcoming draft.
And the problem is you always see these players physically and how they look, and it's like, oh, he's still going to grow, he's going to be Victor Hedman, you know, left-handed shot, He's a little bit different. He's a big, physical, shut-down guy who obviously has skill and, he's very mobile, has a big shot. So everybody always thinks Hedman, but this guy's a little bit more of a shutdown. And I'm I'm going to be interested to see, for example, how he plays against these Canadian guys. It's going to be wave after wave after wave of super talented kid. And if he shows his stuff, and this is those tournaments where you can really show your stuff, you know, draft stock can change. He might be that surprise top elite, you know, defenseman that, you know, he could be the surprise of the draft. Everybody's expecting Luke Hughes and Owen Power to be the top two D picks, right? They'd potentially even be the top two picks. But you got to look at these players and not just track Canada and the USA. I know Spencer looks at every single one top down. I know I'm a little lazier, so I'll maybe look at some other ones there. But not the only ones. There's a couple of other prospects from other countries to kind of look out for that might be also coming later on. I remember, I don't know who's... Maybe it was you who sent me this name, but I think the guy's name was Chibrikov or something like that. He's a Russian kid. He's a winger. He's apparently his shot is absolutely elite. And like he speeds up like supposedly it's insane how they haven't seen a kid like be able to pick up his top speed this quick in a while. What's the word I'm looking for? Acceleration. Jesus Christ. My brain needed to accelerate to try to remember that word. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's just like there's a couple of other players on other teams that I'm definitely interested in and that I'll look out for. And, you know, like we said, it's been a little bit more quiet on the NHL front. So this is something to look forward to if you haven't had a chance to see some prospects.
Well, and so definitely a couple names. The guy you're trying to remember there is Matvei Michkov. Okay. Well, he's one of a few 04 borns on Russia there. But Matvei Michkov, you know, breaking the record for most goals in the VHL this past, or VHL or MHL, whichever bloody junior league it is, or minor junior pro league that they have in Russia over there. Yeah. You know, but he just broke the record this past season for most goals by a 16-year-old in this level, which is pretty phenomenal. It was originally held by Nikita Kucherov. In addition to that, they also have Ivan... Apologies again, because I think it's six syllables long here. But Ivan Miroshnichenko, where he was originally supposed to come over and actually play in the USHL this past season with the Muskegon Lumberjacks. But due to visa and COVID problems, he was never able to. So he went back, played in Russia. But he's a big-time phenom. He's someone where, like, this is a 17-year-old kid. He's already 6'1 and 190 pounds.
Oof.
So he's got some of that, like, Kovalchuk, Ovechkin flair with the size and scoring ability, whereas someone like Michkov, you know, he's barely cracking 150 pounds, but he's a little more flashier, like a Kucherov, where he doesn't have, you know, he's not like built like a tank, like, you know, your Tarasenko would be, but definitely be on the lookout for Michkov and Miroshnichenko there. And in addition to that, you know, you look over at the States, they're always hammering away with some big time phenoms, and, you know, especially their big draft a couple of years ago with all their first prospects going in the top two rounds. So definitely be on the lookout for the likes of Roman Schmidt on their back end for them. You know, he's a strong D-man. He's flipping around a lot between the first and second rounds of this upcoming draft. So a lot of potential there. But, you know, when you have a name like Chaz Lucius or Rutger McGroarty, you know, you just know that those guys are going to be absolute studs at the NHL level just for those names alone. And they're both projected, you know, Rutger McGroarty, you know, he's not being drafted until 2022, but he's going to be a top 10 guy. Chaz Lucius, or Chaz Luscious, again, apologies for the mispronunciation, but he's projected to go likely in the first round this upcoming NHL draft. Milan Hayduk actually has one of his kids, and Marek Hayduk, who's going to be playing for Team USA in this tournament as well.
Oh, nice.
So
Dylan Gunther, like, that's so cool. You just know. That's going to be in exactly. The back of the jersey.
Yeah. And then even with, you know, Finland, you know, you mentioned Brad Lambert as well. He had himself a pretty good World Junior tournament. So again, here's someone as an example. Here's Brad Lambert. All right, you know, he's playing in the World Juniors as a 17-year-old, playing against 18 and 19-year-olds. Now he's going to this other tournament where he went from being one of the youngest, now being one of the oldest in the tournament. So he should flourish out there. He should be, like, absolute dynamite. Another guy to watch out for on that Finnish team, I brought up his name a couple episodes ago, but Joakim Kemmel, the 04-born, who joined Lambert on, and again, no idea, but it's JYP in the top Finnish league. I want to say it's pronounced Yip. Who knows if it's Yipe or if it's Jip or whatever. But look out for Joakim Kemmel there. And, yeah, you know, it's... And again, I think it's just so much more popular this year because of the lack of other hockey going on. Because when, like, yeah, this tournament's going on, it's still the NHL regular season. It's not like it's the playoffs going on, you know? So, there's and especially for scouts and all your experts and panel and pundits out there, they're definitely going to keep being, you know, an extra third set of eyes on this tournament to see some of these players who, unfortunately, didn't get to play as many games as they would have liked to every other past season.
Yeah, it's been a lot of stuff going on for sure, like on the junior level. But I think it's just going to be exciting to be able to see these kids finally be able to play. And yeah, I agree with you. It's going to be awesome to see some of those kids that maybe dominated when they were a little bit younger, see how they play now against these other kids. And yeah, I can't believe we call them kids because we're now 10 to 12 years older than all these guys too. So I kind of... Oh, yikes. Our draft year was in 2011. Mine was in 2012, I think, but yours is in 2011, so.
Yeah, well, no, because I remember when you're saying that, and you're just like, man, like, how to feel old. But I remember the young, like, so a funny story, right before we get played off here. But the youngest age group I've ever coached was 05s, and that was a Pee Wee team several years ago. And I remember the funniest thing with them, of course, they're born in 05. Like, they're born the year of the lockouts and the beginning of the salary cap era. And I remember, like, one of the kids was asking, it's like, you guys, like, oh, there wasn't a time in the NHL and there were shootouts? What happened after 5 minutes of overtime? I was like, dear Lord, that is how you make me feel, you know, the stretch marks and the wrinkles on my forehead and everything and showing the true age and everything on me there. It's like... Holy crap, there's ties, kid. Like in Hard Game Gear, there were ties.
Yeah, and god damn, who's this person trying to play us off? Like, you know, Spencer's trying to finish the story. Like, let us leave the beat. Now we know how these off the beat.
Exactly. So, without further ado, that's it. That's all. Thanks for joining in, and we'll catch you on the next shift.